Welcome to show number 98 of the Sports Card Show, brought to you by SportsCardRadio.com. Yo, what's going on, everybody? Thank you for tuning in today, either on your iPod or your iPhone or your whatever device you've got, your computer. You could be streaming on our website. It just seems like the choices are endless these days. So I appreciate you tuning in to our program, considering you could be watching Netflix, the ESPN app. I don't know if any of you have messed around with that, but if you have like a, if you have certain time, like Time Warner and Comcast and like certain cable subscription, I think even like DirecTV and satellite, you can download the app and like watch ESPN and stuff on that. So that's a really cool app. And the Bloomberg app is really tight. If you like business and stuff, you could be watching live TV 24 hours a day on there or recorded broadcast of a lot of their original programming. So I appreciate you avoiding all those very interesting options that I often go to myself to tune into our podcast. So, well, what the heck are we going to talk about today? So we've got a lot of things lined up. First thing is first, I'm going to bust this out right in the beginning. So we've got a contest for 2012 Prestige Football. And what I'm going to do is I've been meaning to throw this contest for a while, considering I got this box from Panini like a month ago. But I want to do this contest. I want to give everybody on the show that listens a extra boost. And so if you email me at sportscardshow@gmail.com, I think, and if you can't remember that, you can go to our website. If you're like taking a jog or something or walking the dog right now, you can, or at work, you can go to our website at sportscardradio.com and click on the contact us and always find our email and stuff like that there. So I want you to email me, sportscardshow@gmail.com. And I can't even remember what, tell me who's your favorite rookie this year, in the football. I'm not talking about any other sport, but football. There's lots of rookies. I was looking at them today. 2012 Score Football is out at some like retail outlets at the moment. But I kind of wanted to know what everybody else thought about this year's rookies. Obviously, if you live in Indianapolis or you live in Washington or some of the other teams that had high draft picks, you've already got your favorite rookie, and it might be kind of obvious. But everybody sending me, even if you don't watch football or if you don't care about football but you want a spot, just pick one. It doesn't really, even if it's the number one pick, Andrew Luck or the guys that you've heard of, Robert Griffin and stuff like that, if you got to pick a favorite guy. But I will announce my favorite guy here. Sure, I'll do it on the next program. But he was born in the same, if you want to do research, he was born in the same city. And maybe that'll give you a bonus. If you email me your favorite rookie for this year, for your favorite team, I'll give you 10 extra bonus points in the random.org. Basically 10 more chances to win over everybody else in the contest. And then if you email me who you already know who my favorite rookie is, and I'll give you a hint, my favorite rookie this year is going to be from my hometown and where I'm living and where this podcast is being recorded. So if you are privy to that information, you'll be able to discover who my favorite rookie, and there's actually more than one. That's what's interesting. And if you send me all of them, I'll give you 10 points for each rookie you send me that's from my hometown and is from where this podcast is being recorded. So we'll do that. I think there's more than one. I want to say there might be three. I can't remember. I remember reading the paper and it seemed like every day there was somebody. So football's good. Football's big in California, even though a lot of the East Coast gets a lot of the attention and a lot of the small, I don't want to say small, I want to say like Alabama and those kind of places is small necessarily, but they don't have like NFL teams and stuff like that, and often don't have NBA teams. So oftentimes like high school and college football are big, a bigger deal than they are sometimes out here, because we've got, you know, two NBA teams and two baseball teams and no football though in LA at least. So, but that's the contest. So email me, Sports Card Show, to recap, sportscardshow@gmail.com, your favorite rookie and the rookies that are from my hometown that are all instantly like my favorite players. So, what else? So that's my first thing. Now what we're going to talk about, now that we got the contest out of the way, on today's program, we're talking about just really quickly here in the beginning, we'll talk about fantasy's impact, like on, since we're coming up on fantasy football, and that's like the biggest fantasy sport, even though I know a lot of people play baseball, it just seems like football, the excitement around fantasy football is like palpable, you know, you can like just feel it in the air. So we'll talk a little bit about that. Also, another guy on Twitter called Raines, at Raines Brothers, R-A-I-N-E-S Brothers. That's his Twitter name. And then his blog is like, what was his blog? Sorry, I gotta bring it up here. rbicards.blog.com. He sent me like a Twitter, and we'll talk about this right now. He sent me a tweet the other day that talked about, you know, getting the younger generation involved in the games and, like, not in the games, but in cards and, like, collecting. And then when, like, when I was young and when a lot of people my age, like 30-ish and older, you know, cards were big. Cards were, like, we brought them to school. We were proud of them. We had the binders. We had the whole works, you know. We the information didn't flow like it does now. So we didn't always know when the sets were coming out, and there weren't really that many sets anyways. So there was kind of an excitement there, and you never knew what they were worth until eBay kind of came around. I mean, obviously the book said something, but you just were taking somebody's word for that. So, you know, getting kids involved in collecting, and he had some suggestions on his blog, you know, giving cards out at Little League games and partnering up with those kind of sponsorships where you have a direct line to kids. I think we've talked about it on the program too, where like getting into schools too, like making it some kind of incentive or something. But he brought up a point there that I thought I could expand on. He talked about giving away like cards at a Washington Redskins game, like a Robert Griffin card or some RG3 rookie card, you know, at the game this year, and give it to kids 12 and under and only have a certain amount. And I think that's a key. You know, a lot of people know bobbleheads, and a lot of people are line up down the street at a baseball game for a bobblehead, not just because it's cool, it looks good on the shelf. There's a certain amount of people there that are just turning those bobbleheads over onto eBay or selling them in their shops or whatever, wherever they try to sell them. So I think you could get the same kind of excitement around cards. Like Panini's done the same thing with the Father's Day and the Black Friday promotions, and they put out these special cards, and they do it at the Summit. All the manufacturers pretty much do it at the Summit with like special cards there, and you could only get it if you were there. And I think they could do the same thing with these giveaways that Raines at Raines Brothers on Twitter talked about. Like, I know it's done before, so they give out team sets and stuff like that, but they're not always like the most special cards. I think you could give out like a Robert Griffin, you know, somebody pretty cool, Andrew Luck, and make it kind of a fancy card. Maybe only give out 10,000. 10,000 is not necessarily that many. And a lot of the people at the game, there's only going to be a certain amount of people at the game that are going to sell them. And so the ones that do go up for sale might create a kind of excitement as the promotion rolls through a year or two. People realize, hey, you can go to the game and get this hot rookie card and turn around and sell it for, you know, $20. And sometimes that happens with the team sets and the things they pass around at the stadiums. But, you know, maybe the companies just don't see the ROI there, because I'm sure you got to pay to like get it in there, or you got to partner with somebody else. You got to put you got to put Pepsi's logo on the card. You got to put somebody else's logo on the card, because they're going to have some cash and maybe even a more direct line into the company to throw those kind of promotions. You know, I think it's kind of an interesting idea. And I think if the, you know, there was a story the other day, I don't think we talked about it on the show, there was a story the other day that hit mainstream press. Guy found like these beautiful, I mean, I'm sure you've heard it by now. The guy pulled basically like $3 million worth of baseball cards out of his attic. It's like the, what everybody dreams of, you know, you open a barn and there's 1956 Corvettes on top to bottom, you know, it was that kind of find. So, you know, I can't remember what my point was going to be, but actually now I remember that kind of press is good. It's like, wow, baseball cards are worth three. You can find a couple stacks of cardboard in your attic and it's worth $3 million. And that's good. I think we need that kind of buzz like bobbleheads often do. And I think what they could do at these stadium giveaways is maybe give out, you know, 10,000 Andrew Luck rookies, but maybe have 100 of them. Maybe a variation. And so in terms of the people at the stadium, a certain ones got the variation and there could be some trading. I remember that happened at a Giants game when it was team set giveaway. They would give you almost the whole set and then you would get some duplicates. And it was kind of a way to get fans to trade during the game. And so I thought that was kind of an interesting way to get people, you know, you didn't get the whole set, so you had to trade or you had to work out some other deals with the people around you. So I think you could do something very similar to that and create an excitement and create a different level of, I don't know, just a different level of excitement around cards. And I think that would get everybody interested. You know, kids almost with cards need their parents to be interested in it because it just becomes another expense or another toy or another thing on the floor that has to be picked up for parents. But if the dad's buying into it and the mom's buying into it, it becomes like a shared hobby. And then I think there's a lasting impression there. And so I think maybe part of the reason why, you know, cards have gone down in collectability is I think we've seen maybe a downward spiral in like parenting and times like parents have spent with kids and stuff. That's probably a whole nother subject we don't need to talk about. But I think there's some forces there that if the parent doesn't buy in, you know, if he's not sitting there and playing with the action figures, then they just become a nuisance. So same thing with cards, that it kind of needs to be a shared experience for it to be a lasting experience and one that they hold on to. So I think everybody needs to work on it, but it's definitely the manufacturer's job because it's their business. If they stop making cards, we're all going to have ours. We're still going to have the autographs and still going to have the jerseys and stuff like that. And we're going to be excited about having those. We'll be busted up that there's not going to be any new cards, but hey, we have our cards already. The companies are broke. We're okay. We'll still be able to trade them amongst each other. I think there's been plenty of cards that have come out. So it's really the manufacturer's job to get kids involved and to market their products and to keep them collectible and make them more collectible and create excitement around them. And I think the way you do that is by doing exclusive giveaways. I think these Panini things where they do the Black Friday and the Father's Day and they kind of make a season and they give out special things, and you can only really get it at the hobby stores. And so it really, I'm sure the hobby stores love it too. So, you know, that's a good promotion for them. It also works out for Panini because if they keep the hobby store happy, those are really their customers, I guess, in a certain sense, because they're the ones buying the product either directly or indirectly from them. So I think it's kind of interesting. We'll see what happens. One other thing, our main topic today, I don't think I've talked about that, but it's going to be – sorry to wait – 15 minutes until we tell you, but although if you look at the title of the show and kind of scan it, you can tell already. But for those of you that haven't done that, we're going to be talking about what are we going to talk about? Maybe I don't even know. No, we're going to talk about what I was thinking about the other day was I was walking down the street. Literally, I was just walking down the street and I was thinking, you know, the last couple months I've been thinking about like different football, kind of at the same level, like thinking about different like basketball players. For me, it's like different basketball players I was going to buy. And like basketball cards I was going to buy, not the player. I can't afford those guys by all means. I could maybe afford 10 minutes of their time possibly. But I was thinking about like basketball autographs and then I was thinking about like stocks at the same time. Like it was like kind of the same decision making would go through my head. Like the last couple of months I've been investing in some random companies. One of them was random, but it turned out like a good one. I think it's eGov. They like do websites for like governments, and I thought it was a good business. They have an interesting business model, and it could, anytime you're dealing with the government, it kind of sucks, but in a lot of ways it's kind of good. Once you're in, then you're in. So I talked to I talked about, or I was thinking about that, and I was thinking, man, eGov's kind of interesting. What my decision making behind, like, researching that company and investing in it eventually. And I kind of thought, man, I do the same process for basketball cards. Like, I kind of think about the player, do a little bit of research on the player, kind of get to know the player as much as I can, look at the coach, look at, like, the other teams in their division, some of the players he'd have to be guarding, and make my decision from there. And it's kind of the same thing. And so I was like thinking, man, I'll probably do a podcast. And now here we are. We'll do a podcast where we'll talk about maybe some of the decision making. And this is only my ideas. I'm not saying this is like going to be a definitive guide. And I think you should take my ideas and take your ideas and get on like forums or like ask other collectors and stuff like that, like their ideas, if this kind of thing intrigues you. And you could be just buying to hold, or you could be using the segment to buy and sell very quickly. It just kind of depends what route you want to go, and what kind of collector you are. You could even be doing this to buy multiple cards and buy like 10, 12, 15 of the same guy and try to stack up before they get really expensive and really valuable. It just kind of depends. I'm kind of in between. I'll buy just a few cards, and typically I just hold on to them. I just leave them in the drawer, and if they get to where it's a point where it's a lot of money, like it's $100 or $200, then I might sell it. But you know, typically I'll just hold on to a decent amount of stuff. Sometimes I do often sell, but just depends. Just depends on how much I like the player. But I wanted to go through like the thought process. Like, what are the kind of things I think about? What are the kind of things that you might want to start thinking about if you haven't thought about it already? And kind of open our minds up to like, well, when we decide to buy a player, what was our like thought process behind buying that guy? And maybe what are some of like the optimal strategies to finding like those right guys? So like I've said this on the pod, I mean, now that we've done 98 of them, I guess I've said a lot of things. So I might might weed that phrase out of my vocabulary. But I've said on the podcast before that you want to look back. If a lot of us take breaks and like, you know, like collect for a little bit and collect for a season because our team was hot or whatever, we had a good job or something, and then we take a little bit of breaks and we have kids or whatever it might be, get married and things like that, so you got to save a little money for more important things. You know, we're kind of in and out of the hobby, but you really want to have that box of cards that's really nice. If you just kind of like spend here and there, like I got base cards all over the place, I probably should practice what I preach a little bit better myself. But you know, hey, you want to have that tight little box of some nice autographs and some players that you care about, that you have watched on TV, maybe spent some time caring about. That's if you're a collector. If you're just trying to flip, you're just trying to find the best guys that are going to blow up, like Mike Trout and like Bryce Harper and those kind of guys, and boom, make some money real quick. So we'll talk about that. Yeah, we'll talk about that. I've got a little bit on baseball. I think there's a lot of that out there already. I think you can find better advice on baseball. And the advice is more plentiful either on other podcasts or even if we'll just talk a little bit about baseball, a little bit about football, but I'll definitely, right at the end, we'll talk about basketball. So you basketball lovers, come back. I'll tell you some of my thought process behind certain players and guys that I like, and like how to kind of determine the value of a guy before you go and just blow a bunch of money on a collection, before you really even know how his career might potentially pan out. So we'll talk about, that sounds interesting, hang around, because we'll talk about all that right after this. Thanks for tuning in. Hopefully you guys have like just checked your attic too, because I know when I saw that story like last week or the week before on $3 million worth of baseball cards, I definitely was searching every attic of every house I was in. So maybe you guys found some. If not, maybe some other. I watched those like like storage wars shows and like the pawn broker shows and stuff like that. And I'm always amazed. I'm like, man, even those guys sometimes pay, like the pawn guys pay good money for stuff, and they're turning around trying to make, you know, decent profit, like 30-50% profit on it. So I'm like, dang, man, I need to find the antiques, you know, where's grandma's antique. So hey, sometimes it's good to just have those stuff because there's lots of memories in them anyways. And speaking of memories, like baseball cards, and like, that's why it's good to like keep them, because you kind of like flip through them and remember when you got them. So speaking of baseball cards, I want to talk specifically now about like how to identify like certain players. Like, hey, you know, we knew about Bryce Harper like a couple years ago when he was on YouTube blasting those home runs like in Tropicana Field or something. And that how he has personality, and that's maybe like the first thing that I look for, is a guy with personality and charisma, and not everybody has to like them. I think maybe some people make that mistake that like everybody has to like him for he has to be popular. It could be the total opposite. You know, I really think in sports, to have people love or hate you is sometimes a good thing. Not always. It depends on what they're hating you for. You know, if you ask Tiger Woods why people don't like him maybe as much now, that might not be as good a reason. But if people just don't like you because you're kind of cocky and you're kind of good, that might be kind of that's, you know, Bo Jackson had that not that kind of cockiness, but definitely maybe on the field. And there's other athletes in the past that had you know, not maybe as outward cockiness. I don't think Bryce Harper's that that comes across that bad. I think he just plays hard, and we're not used to that. We're watching baseball players kind of, you know, dip in. You know, when I watch the Giants, I mean, and they must be going through a rack of tobacco to every game. That's disgusting. So I'm used to guys like, you know, spitting every 5 seconds. Bryce is out there. Not that he doesn't chew. I don't know. I don't watch the games close enough, so maybe he does. But he plays hard. He doesn't have that kind of relaxed feeling from it. So the first thing I look for baseball prospect-wise, personality, charisma. Guy, when he gets in front of the TV, gets in front of the mic, people are going to remember. People aren't going to forget the face, you know. So he has all that eye black and stuff like that. So that all kind of works to his advantage. Another thing with, especially with baseball, is there's that whole top 100 prospects thing that is really interesting. So, and it's often updated by like Baseball America. So you can get the book or you can go to their website. And I think they have podcasts, and my brother has podcasts. There's all kinds of like baseball stuff out there. Lots of information. And so with baseball, you kind of want to go off those lists and go off like some of the people that watch these guys play and actually go to the games and can compare them against their teammates and other people they've seen. I think that's really important in baseball. And that's why certain guys get rated high and then they end up panning out. And it's because they just have it, you know. Certain guys have it, and some guys are rated high and don't end up making it, but it might be for other reasons that you can't see right away. So we'll see what happens. I think that's a good place to start with baseball, is really the top 100, and then go look to see if the guy has a personality. If he's like a stiff on the board, you know, like, I mean, he might be kind of cool, but there's lots of pitchers in like that one guy for the Mets, Jay Happ, or I can't remember that's his name. Obviously, I don't watch enough of other teams' baseballs, but there's a knuckleballer that I'm sure you know about. I guess he had a book out a while ago, too, that was kind of interesting. This guy's kind of weird and interesting. I don't know too much about him, but those are the kind of guys you want. Those are the kind of guys you want to collect. So the guys with personality, the guys with, when you get in front of the mic, they're interesting, either for good or worse. Those are the kind of guys I look for. And obviously the top 100 talents. You don't necessarily have to be an English speaker, or you could speak fluent Italian and that's it. But if you're blasting 40 home runs, everybody will love you. So, and on top of it all, you're always looking for the winners and the guys on good teams and the guys that can put up good stats. But, you know, there is a mix. There's lots of guys, especially when you get to pro sports and like pro high level baseball, everybody puts up it's very hard to stand out, I guess. It's hard to be like the MVP and be like a dominant, be like a Tiger Woods type MVP when Tiger Woods was dominating the sports of golf. It's very difficult to do that. You very rarely see that across any sport. And so if you can do that, it doesn't really matter. Doesn't matter what you look like. Doesn't matter what language you speak. Doesn't matter what race you are. Doesn't matter any of that. If you're dominating, more than likely, almost 100% of the time, people are going to love you. So, but the fall is typically great too. So you got to be careful with those guys at the top. Got to be careful buying the cards near the top, because the fall, as we've seen with Tiger, I hate keep bringing up Tiger, but he's fresh on my mind. I just watched the Open Championship. Thought that was an interesting tournament. Ernie Els is like my mom's favorite golfer. Ernie Els is like, he's a great player. I remember seeing him in like the 2000, I think, like in the PGA Championship in Medina. It was like probably like the sixth hole or something like that. I don't remember what hole it was. But he was like 200 yards away, and he puts that like smooth swing on the ball. I think he was hitting, back in those days, 200 was still 200. Man, he hit it right off the flag stick. I remember like thinking, dang, this guy's, he just like smoothed like a 5-iron right off the, it like dinked right off the flag stick. I thought it was an incredible shot. So anyways, that's my Ernie Els memory. And he's like my mom's, like by far, there's no golfer that's even, my mom likes other golfers, but like Ernie Els has been like her like man for like a while. So don't ask me why. I don't really know why. Maybe I should ask her, but she just really likes Ernie Els for some reason. My mom's not even really, she plays golf a little bit sometimes, but she doesn't like, she'll follow sports a little bit, kind of like my grandma did, but it's weird for my mom to have like a favorite golf. I don't know. Ernie Els is like my mom's favorite golfer. So it made me really happy when he won today. It was kind of sad to see Adam Scott lose, but you knew it was going to happen. The guy just, I remember seeing him, not to get too far off topic here on the baseball, but I remember seeing an interview with Adam Scott on like Thursday or Friday. I think it was like Friday, and him saying he was like looking at the leaderboard mid round and he got nervous. And I was like, man, you got nervous mid round? I was like, I could see getting nervous at the end and over certain situations, but just looking at the leaderboard, he said he got nervous, and that was mid. It's hard to get nervous. Once you're in the groove, like in golf, then you really should be excited to hit shots. So nothing should scare you, but it's different. It's a different game out there when you got a bunch of people looking at you. So anyways, to recap on baseball, top 100 prospects. We're looking for top A-plus personality, A-plus arms. Be careful with the pitchers and stuff like that. But baseball, my best advice for you is really ignore the last 10 minutes, because I don't know a whole lot about baseball outside of the Giants. So I think there's a lot of information out there. So my advice is, hey, go out there and explore all the information. And when you find a site that you like, typically those sites are like finding their information from another site. And so you can like bring that site into your mix, and then you have two sites helping you out, and then that site will maybe suggest another one, and then you have like 3, 4, or 5. And then I think that's really the best way to use my analogy that kind of gave me this topic was like in finance. I do that. I have like Yahoo finance message boards for certain stocks. You want to go there and read what people are saying. You got to take it all with a grain of salt. But Seeking Alpha is another really good website. Just the straight press releases, you kind of want to see how often a company puts those out and how they put them out and how that is distributed and stuff like that. And not to go too far into that, but basically you have a lot of different websites and you kind of use them all. I think that's your strategy with baseball. With football, I kind of forgot about to talk about my fantasy's impact, didn't I? Yeah, I said I was going to talk about that, so we'll slip that in here because it kind of fits well and it ties in well with football cards. I think my preface with this football cards and identifying good guys to buy for your collection, football is like the most short-term sport out of all of these. The football career is so short, even for outstanding players. We especially see it now less and less with running backs and wide receivers having long careers. It used to be in my day, yeah, Jerry Rice and like Tim Brown and a couple other receivers back, like even Shannon Sharp at tight end. And there was a couple other players, a lot of good wide receivers. Michael Irvin in my era. just seems like the career at that position has shrunk a little bit. The window to be a great player has shrunk a little bit. And especially running back. I was looking at cards today. Score has these like throwback, just perfect, just right out of, taken right out of Topps playbook. And why not? They're doing retro score. Score's been around since 89. So there's tons of rookies. So they had like Tom Brady retro reprint score. They had like Aaron Rodgers reprint, Eli Manning, but they also had like great running backs of the past, Emmett Smith and like Thurman Thomas. I remember those two guys a lot because the Buffalo Bills made like four Super Bowls in a row. And the Cowboys like beat them like almost every single time. So there was some great running backs, and there was even more. There's more than that. Barry Sanders was fantastic, was tremendous, and retired before he even got out. But he had a long career compared to a lot of guys that we just see, like Chris Johnson just kind of flame out. Even like Cedric Benson like flamed out right away and then kind of did all right. Now he kind of, I don't know, I wish Cedric luck. He's not in the Bengals anymore, but we'll see. He's an effective running back, but you just don't see that guy like carry a team for a decade like Emmett Smith and like Thurman Thomas and those guys did back when I was growing up. So game has changed, I guess. I mean, I don't know. I think overall, I think you're just seeing better athletes and better coaching at all positions. So I think it just makes it harder and harder for people to excel for long periods of time. That's my guess. I have no idea. Maybe, I don't know. It might be contracts. It might be some other things. I really don't know. I don't know football on the like coaching level as much as just being a fan. So I just think to bring my point around in like 20 minutes. My point was football, you gotta be careful, man. You gotta, if you're buying running back or buying a running back or buying a wide receiver, you just gotta realize that when you buy that, I think, you know, I bought Chad Johnson cards right at the beginning of his career. Sold him when he had his Twitter list and he had his billboard and he was on ESPN and that was kind of the cool thing. And he was checking cornerbacks off his list and stuff like that. Sell him then, and then you can rebuy him now when he's bounced around and had a horrible season pretty much last year. And, you know, that's when you come back and buy again. So you want to make sure if you're buying running backs and these wide receivers and maybe quarterbacks to a certain extent, but not really. I mean, Aaron Rodgers, if he keeps winning, or if Drew Brees wins another one, Tom Brady, I think as time goes on, even like Peyton Manning, time goes on, their cards get in the hands of collectors and just kind of stay there. So you want to be prudent about when you buy quarterbacks, because they're also getting protected more. That's why I think now these days it's a little bit, I'll put safer in quotes, anybody can get hurt, but I think it's a little bit safer to buy quarterbacks now because the guys can't hit them low, they can't body slam them anymore, they can't really the penalties are pretty harsh to hit from both the league and the coaches. The coaches hate penalties, and so they really punish their players. The players want to hit the quarterback. They don't care about 15 yards. But the coach is the one that basically decides his guy's contract. So they're careful about it. So the quarterbacks are being protected. I think you could be a little bit more careful there. But as for quarterbacks, there's always all these quarterbacks that come out every year. I remember last year when the Bengals drafted Andy Dalton, I was like, man, I hope this guy's not just a lame guy or whatever, just an arm, basically. And I quickly realized that he wasn't, that this guy was like, for real, he was a leader, he was a communicator. He had a little toughness issue, I thought, right in the beginning, but bounced back and pretty much played the whole season after, I think his like first game he got hurt or something. So injured his arm, and that's when we had that Bruce. Anyways, but that's what you want with a quarterback. Any quarterback. It doesn't have to be Andy Dalton. Any team. You want a leader. You want a communicator. And you want toughness. If you have that, then he's going to be a good QB. I think with good coaching and good some other things, then you've got it lined up to where you probably will have a successful quarterback. But if they're a good leader and a good communicator, they're probably going to get themselves in a position to win. So I like those kind of players. That's what you want to look for in when you're buying quarterbacks. And the quarterbacks are out there. Like Aaron Rodgers, I think, is a tremendous – he's both a tremendous leader and a communicator. And his communication style is different than Tom Brady. But Tom Brady is a leader and a communicator. And they're both completely different than I think Drew Brees, who communicates and leads in his own way as well. And then even like some, maybe some other young emerging, like even like Cam Newton, he leads and communicates, I'm sure, very well. I didn't follow his, I just saw his highlights, and it just seems like maybe he leads with highlights. But I'm sure if you listen to his interviews and stuff like that, he will probably, he's a very, he went to a really good school too, so I'm sure he's pretty smart. And the guy in Washington, the guy that was just drafted, RG3, he seems like he has like kind of like, he's a really good communicator, and he kind of has that like kind of happy-go-lucky. He hasn't lost any NFL games right now, so we'll see how long he keeps that smile on his face. But he could lead and be a communicator with that smile and with kind of brushing off the pressure. If he has that kind of same smile and relaxed attitude, it like almost Donovan McNabb-ish. Donovan McNabb was an excellent quarterback. If you only remember his last couple years, you'd think he wasn't that good, but he was a great quarterback. So, and he led oftentimes with a little bit of humor and a little bit of smiling and stuff like that. So I always remember that about him. And I think it adored some fans to him, and also brought some criticism, but that's, where it's at. I think another position that it's emerged as a really good position to look to buy in the NFL is tight end. We've seen, the Rob Gronkowski and Jimmy Graham for New Orleans, and even like Jermaine Gresham. I hate to be a homer all the time, but we got some good young tight ends, and there's way more than that. There's way more tight ends. But the reason why I like tight end is most teams only have that like one or two tight ends, and a lot of teams, you know, they have that one or two tight ends that catch the ball. That you sometimes have tight ends that block and stuff like that, and you want to avoid those tight ends. Don't get caught buying a rookie tight end that you didn't do your research on and realize he's not a catching tight end, he's a blocking tight end. So you want to make sure you get that like athletic, basketball-ish tight end. And I think that's a good position because we've seen like Tony Gonzalez carve out a long career at that position. I think we've seen other players that have been, like, even Antonio Gates has had some injury problems, some foot problems, and some other injuries. But I think he would be effective if he was healthy. I think tight end's a position that fans are looking to more, and the teams and coaches are designing plays around because the tight end is more athletic now, so they're getting matched up with linebackers and they can beat those guys, whereas out on the edges, and maybe that's why we don't see many dominant wide receivers, is because the corners and the guys on the, you see more guys with Deion Sanders like ability and like athleticism. So it's harder and harder to dominate a game, so we'll see what happens there. But basically, tight end, I think, is a good position. In the past, I wouldn't have said don't collect. You know, if you're trying to really stack up a really nice collection, tight end might not be a good position. But I think tight end's a decent position, maybe even over running back these days, because it just seems like you have more longevity as a tight end in the NFL these days as a running back. It's incredible. So we'll see. Just be real careful with the running backs and the wide receivers. I think those careers are shortening, whereas the QB career is lengthening, and the ability to be a good QB with the ways that you can't put your hands on the wide receivers and stuff like that, it makes it easier to even complete a pass. So an average QB can be above average if he has good talent out there and they're making plays and you're getting calls and stuff. So leader and a communicator, though, pretty much with all of those positions, but definitely with football. Now on to the final sport we're going to cover, since I don't know anything about hockey, or at least I don't know much about any sport, but I know even less about hockey and golf and tennis and those kind of sports. So we'll talk about basketball. And this is probably out of the three I know has the most experience, or at least I'm experienced, like, buying different teams. Outside of the teams that I like, I've been trying to buy, like, other rookies and other players and stuff. And the first thing with basketball that I don't think a lot of people realize is the first thing you want to think about is the coach situation. And coaches in the NBA are turned over very quickly, but there are some situations that are almost a nightmare to have a player. Milwaukee is one of them. I've seen a player, Ersan Ilyasova, have tremendous games where he shot in the, you know, upper 50%, double-double points and rebounds, very few turnovers, if any, high percentage from the free throw line. Play 40-something minutes, not even 40-something minutes, but play an average amount of minutes so where you can play the next night. You know, he played like 35 minutes. Next night, 10 minutes. No foul trouble, no jacking up shots. It's just, the matchup situation. You know, he didn't match up well against this guy, or he didn't play well against this guy. That doesn't happen very much in the NBA. You go to Orlando, I mean, none of the guys are boxing out. You wonder why Dwight Howard gets so many rebounds is because nobody else boxes out. Nobody goes for a rebound on the whole team. So you have teams like that. There's totally different coaching dynamics. And so you want to think about that. If you have a player on Milwaukee, he can be lighting it up. But think about Monte Ellis. I mean, he got traded there and it's almost like he went into a black hole. I mean, he didn't have any of those electric, like, big scoring nights because they already had a lot of talent, but also the coaches there kind of reining that kind of thing in. So, coach situation thing you want to think about. I think I talked about it on the last podcast where they have Gordon Hayward. I'm trying to buy Gordon Hayward. And if I heard Ersan Ilyasova had like 12 NBA teams looking for him. He's like, is like the perfect NBA player that is like a role player. Like, he's not going to win the title or necessarily win games. Although he did. He had the week of his life. Go look at his Yahoo game log or something. Guy is incredible. He had a week that was incredible week. But anyways, you gotta be with those guys. You still have to be careful. And I was talking about Gordon Hayward on the show, I think right before this, where I was like biting Gordon Hayward. And the only reason why I was doing it was because they buy into a system where they pass it to you off a screen. It's not one-on-one basketball. There's screens, there's, running plays and running sets. It's not just kind of freewheeling basketball. And that works for some player and it doesn't work for some. And you gotta find the right mix. And so I think that's important with basketball to think about that if you're trying to maximize your value in your collection. The other thing is there's not much else with basketball. Chance of being on TV, so it's maybe playing with another star, playing in Boston, playing in Miami, or playing in Los Angeles and things like that. That will obviously help you out, but we've seen like Chris Paul, he was like buried in New Orleans for a while, though they had a little bit of success with him. I wouldn't necessarily say his cards were moving in either direction too much when he was there. But the minute you go to Los Angeles, you know, it's all good. You're with Blake Griffin and things start happening for you. So chance to be on TV, chance to win, chance to go in the playoffs and get on the bright lights and play against even, you know, really big talent in big games. That, obviously, I mean, look at James Harden, look at Serge Ibaka, look at Thabo Sefolosha, look at all these guys that have gotten airtime just because they have some exceptional teammates like Russell Westbrook and Kevin Durant. Speaking of Kevin Durant, what does he do best? He scores, and that's what you want in the NBA. You want to score, and not just a guy that can light it up on one night. You need that guy that can consistently light it up. But the thing is like, that goes back to our number one, and this is why I put coach situation number one, because I think almost anybody in the NBA can go off for 40. Not almost anybody. It depends on who's guarding them that night. But if they have a guy that's taking it easy on them, or the main guy has fouls and they're playing against the second string guy, I would garnish to say almost anybody except some of these stiff centers could drop 40 in an NBA game if you gave them enough shots. So scoring ability is not in question for most of these guys. It's will the coach allow them, and will the other teammates, is there enough another bad, are there bad options on the team? Kind of like Golden State toward the end of the season, like Klay Thompson was dropping like 30 points and they had like another guy that was dropping a lot of points because all their scorers were gone. Like Stephen Curry was hurt. They traded Monte for a couple of hurt guys. So there's nobody else that could score. So those kind of situations come up. That's why you got to be careful. Like you see Klay Thompson have a great couple months. But coming into this next year, hey, if Andrew Bogut gets healthy and if they, I think they traded Jarrell White. So there goes one shot jacker, but I think maybe they still have Nate Robinson. I think they were thinking about bringing Brandon Rush back. I'm not exactly sure how the Warriors roster is shaken out over the summer, but you get my picture. Certain situations with injuries can have an effect. And also people look at the playoffs too, when the rosters shrink and sometimes maybe you've had injuries toward the end of the season and certain guys get hot towards the end of the season, they're playing well in the playoffs and they think, hey, this guy's going to be good next year. And then all of a sudden next year comes around, they don't get the minutes or they're not getting the shots or the opportunities because everybody's healthy. So those are the things you want to keep an eye on. The best way to keep an eye on all of this is actually playing fantasy sports. And I highly recommend it for all of you, even if it's only to a casual. You don't have to get up all up in the smack talk and trying to win and stuff. If you just take it casually to where you're just trying to maximize your team, it's going to open, especially like drafting and like maybe even week to week. Your draft, you could auto drafted a basketball, and I really, if I would have known the scoring system a little better and done some other tweaks, I would have finished a little bit higher. So you can auto draft and do okay. I think it does, like the fantasy sports, just the ad dropping. Oftentimes, if you care enough about your fantasy league and maybe trying to have a decent finish, when a guy gets hurt and you got to replace it with some guy you never even heard of, it does open the door. That's how I know about like Ersan Ilyasova, and know that the reason why, like I think I read on Yahoo Sports, so I'm not making this up, that 11 or 12 NBA teams were interested in his services, and he re-signed with Milwaukee for some reason. I don't know why he did that, but they must have some sweet compensation in Milwaukee. But you know, there's a reason why you know about them, because of certain situations in fantasy that open the door for you. So hopefully I'll be able to follow football pretty well. I'm trying to win a football this year. I think in the 4 years on the podcast, I've made that pretty clear. I haven't broken through yet, but we'll hopefully make that happen this season. But baseball is the toughest. Baseball is like day to day. And then if you have East Coast players, sometimes if it's like a getaway day, your game's at like 9 a.m. and it's just, it's tough out here on the West Coast to manage that. But especially when you have a guy tipping off at 9 a.m. and it's your regular, but he's taking the day off and you got to sub it out. And it's just basketball and football are a little bit easier because the game times are slightly more standardized. But so you want to take whatever one. And there's also the daily ones. I don't know if I want to promote those because it is like gambling, but there are the daily ones. The ones that I've used and gotten like some free money on is like Draft Day. And I like set up a match with my brother, and I think he won the money. I don't think I've won any money. I think he won that match. But they have like free rolls and stuff, and so I've tried those and tried to win a little bit of money. But I think any kind of fantasy where you're kind of like opening yourself outside your box of players, or the ones that are always on ESPN, or the ones that are always on your local radio or whatever it is, or in Sports Illustrated if you're not out there consuming lots of this news, get out there and play a little bit of fantasy. Just sign up for a public league too. If you don't have a group of friends that want to do it, public leagues are cool. Half the people, probably 90% of the people, end up quitting on the league. So you can kind of not do well or take a week off and it not be a big deal. So I encourage you guys to try it if you haven't. I think most of you guys, I think I'm talking up a tree here that isn't very tall. So I think most of you have figured that out already, but that's maybe my little plug for fantasy, since they just send me mountains of cash every month to plug the $1 billion fit. Like they need another plug. Fantasy and picking your players. So hopefully you guys think about it a little bit. Think about like, man, why do I buy this guy? Or well, like, what's a good reason to maybe, sometimes it's always good to like come up with a reason not to buy a guy or not to collect a guy. It's not always that you you come up with that because it's hard to not like people. But I've learned that more and more with like stocks. I remember back in the day when I first started getting into like individual stocks and stuff, it was hard for me to like sell a company or hard for me to like look negative at a company. But it gets easier and easier as time goes on. You kind of get less attached to them. Although there are certain ones that you definitely, certain players and certain guys that you get attached to over the years. And that's certainly the reason why we call it, why it makes it fun. So hopefully you've learned a few things. Thank you for tuning in. That's all I got. So, hey, if you didn't catch it right in the beginning, we got a contest going on, sportscardshow@gmail.com. Send me your favorite rookie from this year's rookie class, who you think is going to do good, or your favorite guy, or whatever. Tell me about some of the new football, since we're right on the cusp of like practices and all this kind of stuff, cool stuff going on for football. Send me that. And for more bonus entry, this is for 2012 Prestige Football Box, and we'll do the cutoff here. I'll only give you guys a couple days, so if you're listening to this a week, two weeks later, then you're probably SOL, as they like to say. But for the rest of you, the guys that are jumping on, now this is really to reward the people that are jumping right on and downloading the podcast, or just consuming this over, you got Olympic pregame, you got baseball, you got all kinds of coverage, and you're listening to the Sports Card Show podcast. So I appreciate that. To get even more bonus entries, you're almost guaranteed to win probably something if you send me your my favorite players. Who are some of my favorite players? Because they're from my hometown and from high schools that I can throw a rock to, in some places. So, who are going to be my favorite players because they're from my hometown this year? If you know the answer to that, you can send me that at sportscardshow@gmail.com as well. That about wraps it up, folks. Thank you again for tuning in. Hopefully you all are doing well. If you got some good stuff, hopefully it's not too hot. I know it's been like hot across the whole world. It seems like it's been pretty hot here. So hopefully it cools down, or hopefully you've got like AC, good working AC and stuff like that, and things are doing good. And fall is just around the corner anyway, so we don't have that much longer to go until we're turning on the heater every night or running the fireplace. So that about wraps it up today. Thanks for tuning in. We are out of here.